and it's faithfulness. Being down there, I miss being here. I really do. I know everybody says it, but I really do. I enjoy brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowshipping and just rejoicing in the Lord. And here, sometimes we, you know, you get used to things. I remember as a kid, I love barbecue, but the cool thing to say when I was student of the month, I know you'd think that hard to believe, but in elementary school, I said pizza because everybody else had put pizza, amen. But here, I really do. You miss it. You miss being in church. You miss being with other brothers and sisters and getting that encouragement. And as they say, sometimes you don't miss it till it's gone. And it's kind of like the Word of God. People talk about, well, is the Lord, I want the Bible real in my life. Well, it won't be real in your life till you make it real in your life. Amen? Until you put that effort and you put and follow the Lord in that, it won't mean anything to you. It won't just all of a sudden one day pop out and be something to you. Same with church. Church is you if you're a believer, amen? But that fellowship and that body and that togetherness and the joy that you have in that, if you don't have that, there's something wrong. And you need to get with the Lord and find that out. Take your Bible. I won't keep talking, amen. Genesis chapter 22, most of you all know this. I pray that you do. But the Lord laid this on my heart and this week, and I got to talk with Pastor. I'll tell you, I wanted to come up. I appreciate it. I did not know them like many of you did for spending the time with Miss Carl and Brother Ron. I knew and got to spend some time and good time with them. And I'm thankful for that, but I wanted to be here. And it's part of my family, amen? Amen. And I count you all as my family. Amen. And I'm thankful for that, yeah. only because of the Lord, amen? And I appreciate that, but I was thinking about that. She's been in heaven a couple days now. And how just is, I mean, we're down here. we think we're living, amen, and we're, amen, she's doing it, amen, and I'm thankful for that. But Genesis chapter number 22, let's pray. Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness and your love. And God, Lord, I just thank you for being here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, again, I just thank you for letting us know about you. Thank you for letting us be born in a country, Father, we could hear your word and, God, be able to get it and hear it multiple times, be able to deal with our heart. And, God, to be able to worship you and open right now, it's a little bit to the side, but it's way better than a whole lot of other people have it in this world. Thank you for that. Thank you for even taking the time to talk to us. And, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and his death, burial, and resurrection that, Father, I can have real life. Eternal life.
Thank you, man.
God, I pray that you'd bless the time, bless your reading, help us to be pleasing in your sight. And Father, your word find good ground in our hearts. We'll be able to bring good fruit unto you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, Father. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, amen. Bible starts out and in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass after these things that God had tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The thing I wanted to get to and talking to the Lord dealt my heart about worship, we'll get to it in a second. It's in verse 5 is the first place in your Bible that worship is mentioned. And here, he uses it in a strange way, but first in that worship and before you get into things, you have to have that relationship. Amen. Abraham didn't just show up one day and then all of a sudden God just talked to him. God had worked with him here, and here he comes up, and he's prepared. He had had a walk with the Lord. Amen. And here he comes, and God says, hey, I got something for you to do. We always look at it as when God deals with us, it's always what can we get from God. Somebody gets saved. You say, well, Lord, what can they do for me? And he's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and he's going to do that. You find people in the Bible, when they get saved, what happens? Right. Lord, what would thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? here he comes and he says, hey, God in this asked for something that what? Whom thou lovest. And get thee to the land of Moriah. Here he's asking him to do something. He doesn't even give him full direction. He says, hey, I'll get you to the mountain that I will tell thee of. I want you to look at that too and say, God, sometimes we think mountains are mountains and they're not really. We think a mountaintop is something when we get our way. Amen? Hey, I'm living. Hey, the bills are paid. Everything's good. I'm on the mountaintop. No, it's when God gets his way. Amen? A lot of times what we think are valleys and rough spots is when God's saying, hey, you're on the mountain right now. Hey, look at the Lord. Look what his time when he said, hey, glorify thou me. What happened? He ended up on a cross, didn't he? It's just the opposite of what we think. We think, hey, if I'm going to be glorified, I'm going to be lifted up. And he was, but not in the way of this world, not the way you and I would think. That would cause suffering. Here he says in verse 3, let's go a little further. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. When God deals with you, get to it. Amen. God talks to you. People talk about, well, I'm going to wait till the end of the service. The Lord dealt with me about something. Get it right then. Get to the altar. Get to things. Getting a little ahead of myself, but altar, you know what altar's for? It's for altering you. Yep. Amen. Altering your actions, altering your heart, altering your thoughts. Amen. It ought to alter you. Amen. It ought to have an effect on you. Here, back into the verse, it says, early in the morning he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. He goes exactly where God tells him to go. You and I have sometimes a habit of not going where God tells us to go or when God tells us to go. Yeah. And not only that, what do? Pick up the phone. Oh, you should hear what I'm having to do. Brother, pray for me. I'm really going through something. Abraham didn't tell nobody, did he? He told some guys he's going with, hey, we're going to do something. We're going to worship the Lord. Not, hey, I'm going to have to sacrifice that I love. I'm going to have to put down something I love.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
Hey, what do I get out of it? We're always looking, what's God? I know this is going to be hard, but what do I get out of it? We're always looking to what we get out of it. Abraham here, he says, hey, verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He sees something that God had told him about. Amen. In that too, many mountaintops, God wants us to follow his direction. Hey, there are things that really could be mountaintops, but it might not be the mountaintop for you. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, there are things that God blesses and there's a lot of good things, but you better be on the mountaintop. You better head for the mountain that God tells you of and points out and describes to you. And then he sees it. Hold your place here and go to Psalms 36. You know when you'll see what God wants you to see? In Psalms chapter number 36 and verse 9. David speaking here of the Lord, he says, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Amen? We get thinking and say, well, I know what to look for. You know how you'll know what to look for? In his light, you'll see the light. Amen? In what he shows you, in his word, in his actions to you, and here as he speaks to Abraham, what does he do? He now sees the light that being in God's light. In other words, what? What is light? God is light. Amen? Okay. You're in the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You get in the light, then it starts letting you see what the light truly is. Amen? Yeah. Otherwise, you'll think you see the light, and it ain't. It's what a train coming, amen? God, you have to be in his light to actually see the light. You think about children of Israel, what happened with them? He said to the children of Israel, he was light, but to the Egyptians is darkness, wasn't it?
That's right.
It's darkness to them. They don't see what they think they see, amen? Sometimes, again, that's why we're supposed to live by faith, not what we see, amen? Right. And so here, what they saw was darkness, but it was true light, but to them it was darkness. It's kind of like, again, with you and I, being a saved person, what happens? This world says, man, them people are crazy. You see all this stuff right up of the pandemic and all this stuff, and what happens? Everybody's afraid. Why do the people need to go to church? What's the big deal? It is a big deal. Amen. Amen? Biggest deal ever. You think about it. God cared enough about the church, right? He sent his son to die for it. Amen. He thought it was pretty essential. Yes, amen. And here this world doesn't see it. We see it. Right. And then you look at something that somebody does. You'll see them in the news that tortures or does something to a child. You think, how in the world? I can't think about that. I thank God I can't. Amen. I thank God I can't see that. It's darkness to me. I can't understand it, but I'm thankful. Amen. God protects us from that. Here, Abraham's trying to get out. He says, hey, he didn't go and tell everybody. He didn't do. He didn't say, hey, they got to get in God's word to be able to see the light. And that becomes for worship. You have to hear the voice of the Lord. It's what he said. Amen. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. You think about that. It started with what? Obedience. Started with obedience. Not getting the full story, just obeying to what God told him to do at the first verse there. Started with obedience. What is the Lord? Here, take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Start with obedience. God gives us a perfect example of that. Hebrews chapter number 5. And verse 8. Though he were a son, now this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, yet learned he obedience, how? By the things which he suffered. That's the Lord. And being, verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hey, how'd he learn obedience? What did it say? Through the things which he suffered. Why would we be any different? Amen? Right. Yeah. Hey, it's easy to obey when everything's right, when everything's good. It said the Lord learned it what? How? Through the things which he suffered. He learned obedience that way. That's true obedience. Amen. Obedience, as the little song says, is the very best way to show that you believe. God believed the Lord here. He learned it through suffering. In this, he also learned, take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, dealing with that, starting with obedience. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How do you live godly? You obey. How do you live godly? You obey. Amen. Everybody did it. Hey, what did the Lord say? I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. Why? Because he obeyed. Amen. He obeyed. You know how you got eternal life? Because he obeyed. Yeah. Amen? You know how you'll live for God? You know how you'll get blessing from God? You know how your family and all those things do right? Obey. You know how this church will do what it's supposed to do? Whether it grows and people come and all that stuff? Just obey. Amen. God didn't say do anything else, but you obey him. He'll take care of the rest. It's everything else. It's like salvation. You can tell him, you can witness, you can plant, you can water. But what does who? God gives increase. That's as the governor said in New Jersey, that's above my pay grade. Amen. Yeah. I can plant, I'm water boy. He's the one that gives increase. He's the one that does it and goes back. He that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Abraham involves others in his worship. Amen. He involved others in his worship. I wrote something here and I can't read it. Amen. Don't put service off. I think that's what it says in my bad English. Amen. Abraham involves others in his worship. He prepares for worship. He had a three-day journey. That's one thing I miss about coming here sometimes. The time to drive. the drive. Y'all say, oh, man, that's horrible. No, it's a good time to talk with the Lord. Fight with the wife, the kids, amen. No, but it's a good time to talk with the Lord. You have time to prepare. You know, sometimes be living just right down the street, you just get in the car and go. You're doing something right at the last minute and get in the car and go. Here, you're not doing that, amen. Especially if they're only running one lane on the bridge, amen. You got a little ways to go. You got a long time to think about it, amen. A long time to pray about it. And God starts saying, huh, why don't you just, you going to turn around because the line's long, amen. Hey, one night took us how long? 7 hours to get here on a service. We left way in the afternoon, thought we were going to get here early. It took 7 hours. We pulled over, got to talk to some people. It was hot. Got to talk to some people over on the other side of the bridge, but you know what it did? Focused my heart on preparing to be here.
Amen. Yeah.
Sometimes we don't prepare. God's always prepared, amen.
Amen.
What did he say? He prepared a place for us, amen. Old Jonah, he prepared a fish, amen. Prepared a gourd, prepared all kinds. He prepared the easy way. He's prepared. We ought to be learning like him, amen. We ought to prepare for things, amen. Instead of getting caught off out of season, amen. be prepared. Be prepared. I appreciate Brother Mike today. Preacher said, you got the ball, run with it, amen. Last second, amen. It's good to be prepared, amen. It's good. I was thankful for that. Sometimes you get caught and you say, man, just do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
What did he do? He just gave more to God.
Amen.
Amen. He ain't got to come up with nothing. He already got it down. Amen. Something to help somebody. He says in that, he prepares for worship. He's, verse 4, he was looking for a place to worship. Are we? Are we? Hey, it was going to cost him something. He already knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And he was still looking for a place to worship. We're looking sometimes for a place to complain. We're looking for a place to, hey, this wasn't right. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. It's too this. It's too that. It's man, why did they do this? Why did they do that?
Yeah.
We're not looking for a place to worship sometimes.
Yeah.
And wonder why we end up the way we do and say, man, church wasn't that good tonight. Church wasn't that good today. Y'all have all said it. I know it.
Yeah.
So have I. Why? Because I wasn't looking for a place to worship.
Yeah.
I was looking for something that I wanted. Amen. I was looking for something I wanted, not what God wanted to give me. Maybe it's just say, hey, look at you. You didn't prepare? Good. That's what you get. How you like that? Amen? Are you looking for a place to worship? You need to prepare for that. It becomes a personal worship. What does he do? He separates from those young men. He goes with the essentials. Amen? We got all this stuff with essentials. You know what? What happens in a storm? What goes? I mean, yeah, well, now it's toilet paper and everything else, but in a storm, normally it was just the milk and bread, the basics, amen? You know what's going to get you through the storm? The same way, the essentials, amen? Ezekiel's wheel is not interesting when you're having problems at home or you're having problems at work and all. You want the essentials to get you through that storm, don't you?
Yeah, amen.
And the same thing with God here. Hey, Abraham said, okay, I brought everybody here. But now it's just my job to go worship God and the lad. I'm taking what I'm supposed to take. Amen.
Amen.
Then he goes and he says in that personal worship, he talks to where God and he gets up here and let's go back to the Bible and verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Thank the Lord he had something to hold that fire because you get burned. Hey, that was some preparation too. Hey, to keep that fire going, 3 days journey from home and to still prepare it. Here he goes up and he... I'll yell. Amen. Maybe the Lord said, shut up. Amen.
No.
But I want you to look what he took. He laid that burden on him, but let me tell you this. The wood, I'm getting away from the microphone. The wood is not the sacrifice.
That's good.
the wood is not the sacrifice. Huh. I do remember in the New Testament where it talks about wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? Yeah. Something going to get burnt up. Amen. Our actions, our works, our labors are not the sacrifice. Amen? No. They're not. Here, they lay it on him. And God shows him and he says, and let's read a little further. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. And where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He's looking at it from his own eyesight. He's trying to figure out what's going on with what's happening. Hey, we're missing something. You know what that told me? He had a history with his father and knew what went with sacrifice. He had a history that knew what went with worship. Amen. He had a testimony because he noticed something was gone. He noticed the essential part. Why we're going, you just told them fellas, we're going to worship and we ain't got what we need to worship with. He had a history. He goes and he takes in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Do you see that? Son didn't ask a question. Huh? What? Somebody had a history of teaching somebody some right things. He taught him the fear of authority. Amen? He taught him to what he even saw. Do you realize what Isaac's doing right here? He's trusting the word. He's trusting what his father told him, not what he could see. Amen? That's where we get in trouble. We start looking and saying, well, God, this don't look right. This surely don't feel right. Let me tell you this, like a guy in a prison. He said, sometimes I don't feel safe. I said, God didn't save your feelings. He saved your soul. And here, he's looking and he's saying, hold on a minute, something ain't right. Which is good. But then when authority said, hey, you just go, we got everything we need. God will do it. He didn't say, hey, I'll take care of it. He didn't put it back on him. I already got that figured out, son. I don't believe he did. But he knew who did. He knew who did. He knew who did. Amen. He goes a little further. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Hey, God been talking to him since he last left back in, what was that, verse 2? I'll go to the place I'll tell you about. And then he told him about the mountain. And here it is. And he says, now all of a sudden, hey, he said, they came to the place which God had told him of. He's still talking with the Lord. And the Lord's still talking with him. Amen. Hey, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Here, they're walking. They're walking together. God's talking with him. And you know what he's doing? He knew what he was supposed to do, but he's still listening. He's still listening. He's still listening. And Abraham built an altar there. What's an altar for? To altar you, we know that. What else is an altar for? Altar's for sacrifice. And sacrifice in worship here. He comes and this sacrifice that he's preparing in verse number 9, he builds an altar there. It's a foundation. It's a foundation. And laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What was that altar made out of? Stone, a rock. It's like the Lord there. Built on that foundation, that rock. And you, the sacrifice, and Isaac becomes a living sacrifice, don't he? He's put on there and he's laid on top. But hey, no man can build. What's laid underneath of? What's going to burn up? Those works, it ain't that way. It's you and that altar's what's left.
Amen, brother.
He laid him on the altar. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, for sake of time, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what people say? They read that and say, well, I am giving my life to him. God didn't say give your life. What did he say? Present your body. Amen. Yeah. Hey, what you do and live for God and act out and all that stuff is done in this body. Yeah. People talk about my life and they get this grand idea. I've given my life to God. Give your body, your life will go with it. God said body. He didn't say your life. Give your body. Your body is what we have a problem with, ain't it?
Yeah.
People have this grand idea, again, with giving our life. Well, I've done all these things for the church, and I've done all this stuff and all that. Give your body.
Amen. Yeah.
And their body's junk and all the stuff that they do and the actions. And that's what this world sees. This world, as the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, doesn't he? Isn't that what it says? Sure does. You know what this world can't see? God. It can't get the spiritual things of God, but it can get your actions. You are the go-between.
Amen.
Your actions, what you do in your body from the Spirit of God flowing out, that's what they see. That's what they see. They need to see that. Then they can start basing it on something. Say, hey, where'd you get that from? Or whatever. You need to tell them where you get that from. Amen. Not it's just, hey, I was good and they're a good person. They need to find out why. Is God in you that's good? Is God in me that's good? It's kind of like spiritual things. Everything we do is spiritual, isn't it?
Amen.
It's supposed to be. It involves the Spirit of God. It involves it. Here, he had a testimony of that with his own son. Leviticus 1:3, for sake of time, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door. That's what a sacrifice was done. Voluntary. Amen? We talk about being drafted into the Lord's. No, you better, it's a voluntary thing.
That's right.
Once you're saved, that offering, that sacrifice is a voluntary thing.
Amen.
And you know where it's done? At the door. Amen? It's done with the Lord. Amen? He is the door. Amen? He is the door. Hey, where you do it? Right here. Where's the altar? It's the Lord.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. It's going to alter your life. You got to find out what he's saying to you. Here, there's an order to worship. Amen? There was an altar first. You don't get anything else besides the altar. Obedience. When he gets there for worship, it's the altar. Then it's the wood, then the sacrifice. It's in order. And God puts it that way. Hey, it's him first. He knew the place for the altar. God told him, do we listen to the word? John 1:1, find out what we are. I said it a few minutes ago, to find out where we are to be altered. We need to find out where God wants us altered. How do you do that? Through the word. By listening in obedience. Then it can alter us. Otherwise, we'll alter something. We think, well, there's all kinds of religions out there that alter and change all kinds of things. You got to do this, you got to do that. That ain't what God said. This is what alters you.
Amen.
Go to God for it. It says in that, getting ahead, amen. Let's read a little further. Abraham, verse 10, stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Tells you who that angel of the Lord is. As the Lord, he said, you didn't keep him from me. As God had said, hey, you're going to have to offer that sacrifice. Wasn't no angel, typical angel, is the Lord.
Right.
You kept your son back, not from me. Here, in that he obeyed, he worshiped, he was going to sacrifice because of one thing. He feared God. He feared God. That's what the angel of the Lord said. That's what the Lord told him. I see that you feared God. We got all kinds of fear. Amen. We were talking about before, everybody's fearing this virus. You know what fearing that virus does? Changes your patterns, don't it? Changes, hey, because people are afraid. They stay in the house. They spend more money because they call everybody else to go do their shopping and all their stuff. It changes what you do, changes where you go, changes your action. Why? Fear. Ain't God to be feared more than that? He don't change our actions. He don't change where we go. He don't change what we touch. Amen? Who is this God? This world sees it that no one fears him. Why do they? I mean, Christians do just what everybody else can, and they can, and many times do. It ought to fear, ought to change.
Amen.
It ought to change us. It's changing this world, ain't it?
Yeah.
From a fear of a bug, amen, a virus. I'm not making light of it. What I'm saying is, it's funny how the world can change on something they're afraid of. Maybe they ought to show us Christians how to do it.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Amen.
Look how quick. They're giving up, some of them giving up on what? Their God, money.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah.
That shows fear, don't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Should be in us. Not a fear of God that he's out to get me, but that he keeps his word and says, hey, I'll bless you. You do these things, do right. But if you do wrong, you're going to have to answer for them. He does take perfect love, taketh away all fear. Hey, that second death, I ain't got to worry about.
That's right.
It took that fear away. Amen. It took the fear of death away too when he took that from Satan there in Hebrews chapter 2. I ain't got to worry about that either.
Amen.
But that second death is the most important, and he took that fear away. I don't worry about it. I'm his.
Amen.
He is mine.
Amen.
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 In that, he says, God will provide.
Yes, he will.
He's that living sacrifice. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. You want to find out with the fear of the Lord. Everybody talks about it. Verse 13. Of Proverbs chapter 8 says, the fear of the Lord, here it is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, it depends on what evil is, right? Well, you think it's bad, but I didn't think it was that bad. It's evil.
Amen.
Got to see sin is sin. Sin that it might appear sin, the Bible says. Hey, because it don't look like it. Like they always say, hey, the devil ain't walking around with a little red suit and pitchfork and all that. People know to stay away. He comes an angel of light.
That's right. Yep.
He comes like something that don't look that bad. Amen? That's what gets us in trouble. It ain't the bad stuff. It's what that don't look that bad, and it is bad. Amen? It's rotten. Proverbs 16, verse 6. The Bible says in that, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Not even just to see that it's evil, but they depart from it. See, that's sometimes we see things are bad, but we don't get away from it. We don't get that far away from it, amen? We look at it and say, well, I know not to do that. That's bad. But we don't get away from it.
Right.
Why? Ain't no fear of the Lord. Ain't no true fear of the Lord. You know what, Abraham, and back, let's go back to Genesis chapter, actually go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. We'll read a couple verses there for dealing with this. Abraham in Genesis chapter 20. Here, for sake of time, Abraham's lapse here. He lies about his wife being his sister. And in verse 10, the king here says, Genesis chapter 20, verse 10, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. And they will slay me for my wife's sake. Abraham saw something. You know what this world sees? Same thing. Abraham thought, wasn't no fear of God in the place. They're living like there ain't no problem. They're living like, hey, everything's good. They're living just like I am. And Abimelech there says, hey, why'd you do this? Why were you getting ready to cost all my people their lives and my kingdom to fall? Because Abraham said, I looked and I didn't see nothing. I didn't see no problem. I didn't see no fear of God here. So I thought, man, they're going to do wrong. You know why we do wrong? Because we don't have the fear of God. People don't see it in our lives. That's why they do wrong many times. Hey, why do you think when a policeman goes by, you take your foot off the pedal? Because you got a fear now to ticket, but you got a fear that you are doing wrong. Yeah. Amen? You got a fear that you were doing wrong, even if you weren't. Right. It's a guilty conscience. Amen? Why? Because you fear them more than you fear God. Hey, this goes to me too. You get speeding until you, oh, thank you, Lord, for watching out over me and let me see that police officer before he saw me. Yeah. Have more fear of that sometimes. You know why? Because it's going to cost us something. And we don't realize every time we sin, it costs us something. Every time you and I sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It pays, amen? It does. We're worried about the coronavirus dying for that. Way more people have died. If they kept a count on how many people died of sin today, what would that look like? Would it affect us? Would it? He said, hey, I didn't think it'd fear God. He says, hey, what did you see? You ever ask about that to God? Hey, God, what do you see in my life? What do you see as my problem? Amen? Amen. Talk about this sickness and stuff. Most of the people that are dying are underlying issues. You know, I was laughing, but it's true. We all have underlying issues. Amen? That's causing us to be in sin and to sin. We have underlying issues. And what it's doing is killing us and our family and everybody else around us. Amen? Slowly. So we think it's okay. We think it's okay. We think it's not that bad. It's not affecting me. It is. You know, you get rid of it, you get it on the altar. And you let it alter you. And you put what God says, hey, you be that living sacrifice, which is what? Your reasonable service. And if we don't, we're being unreasonable. Amen. You and I are being unreasonable. Ain't nothing like dealing with an unreasonable person, is it? No. You can't just tell them, hey, this is this. And they say, nope. What? This is this. I'm not getting into politics, but you can see this right in front of you. You say, man, look at this, and this never worked, and how do you do? Yeah, but we're going to do that. It'll work this time. Put that in the church. Yeah. It worked this time. Hey, that's where David got in trouble, wasn't it? Hey, the battle before he laid out with Bathsheba, it was won. He wasn't there. And he showed up for the victory. He got away with it once. Second time it got him. He said, hey, I made it last time. They let me claim the victory, and I didn't have to be there. Now I can lay out this time. It's those, hey, it got away with it last time things. Yeah. Gets us in trouble. In verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What is that? God will provide. He named that not, hey, I had to suffer and sweat this out and then I got through. Not, look what happened here, but he put it back to God. Victories in your life, sometimes we claim, well, I still had to do this or I had to do that or, you know, I was able to, this person was able to help me, not God. He claimed a victory there, but it was God-given. Amen. That's why he named it that. He gave God the glory in getting him out of it. He said, well, God got him into it. It helped him. Amen. It helped show obedience. It helped him to obey. It helped Isaac to see that obedience no matter what it cost. And then God provided the way out, as he says, he always makes a way of escape. True worship is giving and acknowledging God worth to whatever happens. He always does right. That's worship.
Amen.
It's ascribing worth. God, you are worthy. Why? Because you have a history and everything you do is right.
That's right.
However it looks, whatever I see, that don't matter. That's worship. And it all comes back in verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. The Lord. That's where we get in trouble. We know the voice. Amen. We hear the voice. Amen. We have to obey the voice. Amen. And you say, who's that voice? Well, I know Genesis, it said they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. That's the Lord, Jesus Christ. He is that word, amen?
Amen.
It goes back to the word. Obedience to the word is worship. Amen? Pastor.